Good evening. It's a blessing to be here once again with you and to share a lesson from God's Word. Thank you so much for your love and your care that you've shown to me so far of being a new minister here, that you've been patient with me as I've been working through my first ministry job, as we're working through the stuff of student and other things like that and trying to iron out all the kinks. But I thank you for your love that you've shown to me, mostly for the college group, and that they're wanting to represent Dalreda here, and that we carry the name, but mostly we carry the name of Christ. Before we get into our lesson, let's pray to our Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, we thank you for this night, that we can come here to worship you. God, as we study your word, we ask that you'll give us an open mind, an open heart, and an open Bible. We'll take these things, we'll combine them with our lives, and we'll go and share them with others. God, we ask that you be with us in this time. We lift this prayer to you through your Son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You ask me how I got to that point. It wasn't a quick journey. I remember when it all started, as I was sitting there with my nets. And my brother Andrew, I saw him from a distance come along the seashore. And he came running up to me. He could barely breathe. I said, "Andrew, what's going on?" And he said, I found him. I have found the Messiah. Come and see him." So I left everything there and I followed Andrew. And I came across a man named Jesus. At that moment, he looked me in the face. And I haven't had much conversation with him, but he told me, he said, "You no longer will be named Simon. You'll be called Peter," which means rock. And I thought to myself, that sure is a unique name. Why would he call me rock? Why would he call me Peter or Cephas? And I was confused by this statement. Well, many days from then, a few days, I was there with my boats once again. And I was off to the side, and there was mine and Andrew's boat. And there was James and John, and their boat was next to ours. And here comes Jesus. He comes walking along the shore once again, and he comes up to me, and he gets in my boat. And he tells me to put out a little bit from the shore, and so I do. And he begins to teach the people that were there. And he started teaching this lesson from my boat, and when he had finished, he told me, he said, "Cast out a little bit deeper." So I went out to the deep part. And he said, "I want you to throw your nets over the side." I looked him in the face, and I was thinking about the night that I just had beforehand, and I said, "We had been fishing all night, and we didn't catch anything, and here we are in the middle of the day. It's not the right time to fish, and you're telling me to put my nets over the side?" So I do it, and I catch all these fish, so much that my boat can't handle it. And so I wave to James and John, and they bring their boat out, and they try, and they get the fish in, and they bring it to the shore. It was so much that our boats began to sink. And I remember falling down on my face at that point, looking at Jesus and saying, "I'm not worthy to even be in the same boat with you, for I'm a sinner." That began 3 years of a very unique life. 3 years I spent with this man that had called me. And I remember throwing my nets down and following this man wherever he went for 3 solid years. And I remember towards the end, when he looks me and the other ones in the face and he says, "My time has come." He had been talking about this for 3 years, but I guess none of us really wanted to come to full grips with it. But he said his time had come, and he was to be delivered over. He said he was going to be betrayed, and I looked at him, I said, "Betray you? Who among us would do such a thing? Christ, I will never do this to you. I will never deny you. I will never betray your name." And he looks me in the face, and he says, "Satan has demanded you, that he may sift you like wheat." He says, "Before the rooster crows 3 times, you'll deny me." And my heart sunk. Deny Christ? There's no way I could do this. We spent a little bit more time together that night, and then we went out to the garden, a place that Jesus had often gone, and he leaves some of the disciples there, and he brings James and John and myself a little bit further out. Leaving us there, he goes, and I see him in the distance, about a stone throw away, and he falls down on his face and begins to pray. It had been a long night and all the things that we had gone through, and I remember being tired, and I remember falling asleep, and Jesus coming back and waking us up numerous times, and he's saying, "Stay awake and pray that you may not be led into temptation." Once again, I fell asleep, but I remember coming back the last time. He said, "It's not time to sleep. You can do it later." He says, "It's now time." As when he said that, I looked in the distance. I saw torches and a group of crowd coming. And I remember seeing Judas, the one who left us in the upper room. And he came up to Jesus, and he looked him in the face and he says, "Rabbi," and he kisses him on the cheek. And I remember hearing Jesus say, "Judas, you betray me with a kiss." I remember being so upset at that moment that I grabbed my sword and I cut the guy's ear off that was nearest to me. And Jesus, being as patient and as gentle as possible, picks the ear up and puts it back on. He says, "Put my sword away." They then dragged him away, and we all scattered. I followed from a distance, though, and I finally came across Jesus. And as he was there in the distance, I kept my eye on him. And I remember it being kind of chilly that night, and we were all around a fire among some other servants and some more people. One lady looks across at me from the fire, and she says, "Wait, you were with Jesus?" I said, no, that wasn't me. Three times I was asked this, and I remember the third time being so upset, and I have no idea why I said it, but I began to curse, and I said, "I do not know him." And I heard the rooster crow. As soon as it crowed, I looked at Jesus, and he was looking at me. Talking about a low point in my life, that was one that I dare not remember, but it stays on my mind constantly, that I denied the Christ. After he had been killed and buried, we went back to our normal things. I went back fishing, and there was a group of guys with me. And we had cast out, and we went a little bit further, and we had toiled all night. And there was a guy on the shore, and he said, "Children, have you caught anything?" And he yelled at us. We had no idea who he was. He said, "No, we've been out here all night and haven't caught a single thing." And he said, "Take your nets and throw them over the right side." So we did it. And we pulled up 153 fish. And I said, "This looks all too familiar." And John points out and he says, "That's the Lord." And I was so excited, I jumped from the boat and I went and got in the water and I went 100 yards, and swam to him. And there I was once again with Jesus. And I was back around another fire. Very similar to the one that I had denied him across. And there he asked me three times if I loved him. And I got a chance to redeem myself from the time that I denied him. And I had the chance to say, "Lord, you know I love you." Now I know that these come straight from Scripture, some of the things that I've said. And I've tried not to read into Scripture as much as possible. But I wanted to share with you an experience that Peter had. And it's not too far from our very own experience when it comes to our Christian lives. There's certain things I want to look at about how that we need to follow Christ in three different sections of our life. First of all, God comes to us and he calls us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will, turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Start reading in verse 26. He says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you are wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." He looks at each one of us and he says, "I have called you." Where you are in life, God has called you. He says, "I want you to drop the things that you're doing and follow me." Everything that you are, just as Peter had dropped the nets, his entire lifestyle that was built on fishing, he dropped it so he could follow Christ. God says, "I've called you where you are in your life." He says, "I want you to drop everything that you are, everything that you do, and you give it all to me. Come and follow me." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. "To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." And we are called through that gospel. The fact that Christ came to this world, and that he lived, and he died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. And it is through that gospel that we are saved, that we have an eternal life, that we have a hope and a promise, that when we leave this world, we can have eternal life. It says you have been called through that gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. said, so then, since you've been called wherever you are in life and you've been called through the gospel, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You made that confession, many of you did, maybe in these same waters, that you decided that you were going to live for Christ. You were going to die to everything that you were and follow Christ. And that was a great moment. When you dropped everything and you started to follow the Lord, it might have been a while from now. Maybe it's been 3 years, maybe four, maybe it's been a lifetime since you were first called. Think back to the point when you first gave yourself to God and the path that you've been walking since then. And remember what it was that He called you from. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He said, when you were called out of darkness, a life that you used to live, and He said, you have been changed from that, and there's no reason you should go back to it. But the thing is, many times in our life, we fall back into it. God has called us to be something better than we ever were. He called us to be something better than we could ever be by ourselves. Just as when He called Peter, He looked him in the face and He called him rock. He said, you will be a rock. And as you look all through Peter's life, you say he was anything but a rock. He denied the Christ. He was wishy-washy at times. He was the one that had a foot-shaped mouth, that he would say things before he actually thought them through. How is it that Peter was a rock? How was it that Christ called him? It was a long path. It was 3 years of him traveling before he finally preached the first gospel sermon. And you know how glorious of a thing that was in Acts chapter 2 and how many people came to that. It took Peter a while to really understand what it was that he was called to. God looks at each one of us and He says, I have called you to be something different. I've called you to be stronger than you ever were. And it is through Me that you can have that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. He said, stand firm. Chapter 16, verse 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Take a stand and you decide that you are going to stand firm in the faith and not go from one side to the other. And it is a path that you're going to have to take to learn. If you read in Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about those that live on the milk versus those that live on the meat. And He said, if you actually come to the meat, He said, you can have the discernment between right and wrong. That you can decide the decisions you need to make in life according to God. He said, be strong in your faith. When you go to James chapter 1, He talks about a man that is not strong. James chapter 1, starting in verse 5, He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. He says, I don't want you to be wishy-washy with your faith. I don't want you to be tossed to and fro. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, and He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and the deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. He says, I don't want you to no longer be children. He says, I want you to grow up. I want you to be able to stand firm, that people can depend on you for faith. They can come to you and ask you questions about what they need to do in life to inherit eternal salvation. He said, finally, stand strong. And that's what I urge you tonight, is to stand strong just as Peter did, but you have a long path ahead of you. Think about the certain situations. Think about Peter as he was in that upper room. I love the way that John gives more detail about what happened there. that as Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples and his apostles, he humbled himself. And he went by and he washed the disciples' feet. And Peter speaking up, and he says, Jesus, I will not allow you to do this. Jesus says, unless you allow me to do this, you will not inherit. So therefore, he says, well, not only my feet, well, my hands and in my head and everything that I've got. He opens his mouth and he realized there was something more. And Jesus begins to talk to them about more and more things they were supposed to do in life. In that upper room, Peter was on fire. He was excited about all the things that he needed to do for God. And you can relate to those situations. As we come here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesdays, as you go to camp, as you go to retreats, and you go to all these different places where your faith can be built up, it's like you're in that upper room. It's like you're there with Christ. And you feel the strength and you feel the nourishment there. But when you leave, it's when things get bad. When you leave from the presence of Christ, you become less strong, just as Peter did. And he left there, and it was through the fire by himself that he ended up denying Christ. I charge you to be with one another and help one another and build one another up, that you stand strong in the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 3, it says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. And then he goes on, he says, I want you to take your faith and build on it with all these characteristics, all these values in life. He said, you don't just have your faith, you put more into it. You add to it day by day. And I encourage you to read through these verses. And he says, if you will do these things, in verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided to you an inheritance, an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to build on your faith. He said, if you will build up your faith, you'll become stronger and stronger. He said, it'll get to the point where all you want to do is serve God, that you never want to leave His presence, that you constantly want to be with Him. And he said, you won't fall. This is not saying the Calvinist view of that you will never sin. He says that you'll be stronger and you won't want to. If you go to 1 John, he talks about a very similar thing. He says, those who keep sinning are of the devil. He says, but you have given yourself to Christ, and if you have given yourself to Christ, there should be no sin found among you. He says, so therefore stand firm. So I look at each one of you tonight, and I look deep inside myself, and I think of Peter. And the long trip that he had from being a smelly fisherman, to casting his nets down, to spending 3 years with Christ, to sitting in the upper room when he was on fire, to remember back on the things that he had experienced with God, and yet he still fell. And I tell you tonight that you will have hard times in your life where your foundation that, yes, it was built on Christ, and yes, you stood firm, but you still can waver. And I think of Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove the lampstand from its place unless you repent. How is your love with Christ today? At the end of Peter's life, he had to look Jesus in the eyes once again around that fire, and he had the chance to say, you know that I love you. Have you denied Christ? Have you denied His love that He so richly provided to us? Have you forgot about your calling and your election? Have you forgot how sure it was? Have you forgot the journey that you've had with Christ? Then you need to do just as these scriptures say and repent. And turn back and go back to your first love, which is Christ. Maybe you have some kind of struggle in your life. Maybe Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat and he wants to tear you down and take you away from God. Stay in the palm of Christ, just as he says in John chapter 10. The family of God is here for you if you have any kind of struggle, any kind of strife. We're here to help you through whatever it is that brings you away from the presence of God. But I charge you, be like Peter, to stand firm And if anything has destroyed that firm foundation, that base that you have, it needs to be removed. If you need to come to Christ,